Well, hello and welcome to our Ely Team online service for Sunday, July the 19th. My name is Matt and I'm a curate in the Ely Team. And on behalf of all of the churches in our team ministry, I'd like to say that we're really glad that you're here with us today. Whether you've been joining with us online for some time or this is your first time with us today, whoever you are and wherever you're tuning in from, you're really welcome and we're glad to see you. Come now to our first song for this morning, which is Tell Out My Soul, a beautiful hymn which actually reminds us of Mary's song of praise to God, the Magnificat. However you're feeling this morning, do feel free to sing or simply listen to the words of Mary's song and remember how she praised and rejoiced on that very first occasion that she learned that she was going to give birth to a son who would bring hope to all who choose to put their trust in him. So over to our worship team from St. Mary's, who are going to lead us in our sung worship this morning. Jesus, we pray today that you would cause us to tell out your greatness through both our words and actions. Help us to trust the promise of your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us and mould our hearts. And we pray that you would inspire us and future generations to find peace and hope in you. Amen. Next up, we're going to have our Bible reading, which this week is going to be read to us by Alexander, one of our Pathfinders from St. Mary's. Our reading this week is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 13. That's Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 13. You might want to find this passage in your own Bible or on your Bible app so that you can read and follow along. Today we're finishing our sermon series studying Paul's letter to the Philippians. And this morning our team rector Chris is going to be speaking to us on the secret of contentment. So over to Alexander for our reading and then straight over to Chris for our sermon.
Today's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 3 verse 17 to chapter 4 verse 13. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you, whom I long and love for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in cause of the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Chris. I'm the rector here at St Mary's, and it's my pleasure to be offering the final sermon in this series on Philippians. Right at the start of our reading, we find Paul is weeping. This really matters to him, what he's talking about. He believes people really can be lost to God, and so it's life and death. And that prospect sends him looking for the Kleenex tissues. And in verse 17, Paul says something quite startling to us. He says, the answer is to imitate me, Paul. He offers himself as a model of how to stand fast as a follower of Jesus, and thus ensure we remain within God's way of life. I've been asking myself, could I ever imagine myself saying something like that to you? Imitate me. Could you ever imagine saying that to your friends, those who you are hoping to lead to Jesus? Just imitate me. Do what I do. Scary stuff, isn't it? But in Paul, we're listening to someone who is so confident that God is transforming him into the person he was made to be, that he offers his own life as a model. Paul is a leader. He knows it's up to him to lead from the front, to demonstrate to his followers the difference that Jesus makes. When I was selected for this post here in Ely, my friend and fellow leader, another Paul, gave me a pedometer with a card which read, speed of the leader, speed of the team, which I found quite reassuring at the time, because up to that point, I wasn't at all sure that I'd been leading the church plant in Bracknell very well. But here was Paul, somebody who knew me well, part of my leaders team, encouraging me to continue to model the Christian faith, the faith that we were encouraging everyone else to adopt. The pedometer makes me think about my own responsibility to model what I preach. No leader can expect the people he leads or she leads to have a closer walk with God than his or her own. St. Paul knows we learn more by watching than just hearing, and any mismatch between what we hear and what we see in our leaders speaks volumes. I'm sure the members of the church plant in Philippi were glad they had a leader like Paul, even if they were puffing and blowing, trying to keep up with him. He was a model for the Christian life, even from jail. That's why whatever side of the argument we're on, the discussion about the travels of a certain government advisor was so important at the start of the lockdown. Speed of the leader's advisors, speed of the team. The key to Paul's confidence is his absolute confidence and worship of God, and his refusal to serve anything else. You may remember a famous Bob Dylan song, You Gotta Serve Somebody. He wrote, "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And it's true, isn't it? We either adopt a way of life of worship which leads us towards God, or a way of life of idolatry that leads us elsewhere. In the end, we all find we're serving somebody, and it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but we're going to have to serve somebody. Paul's words here are a warning against idolatry, the folly of not loving God with all our hearts and minds, and idolising something else in his place. Whether it's joining in the local festivals, idolising Caesar as Lord, or whether he's talking about our hidden addictions and desires. Paul is saying, don't let something else get its hooks into you. And the antidote to that is to worship God. That's what we're designed for. Paul is helping these first Christians navigate a new way of being. And in those times, and in that place, it was risky. Paul, after all, was in prison. Paul is saying, look with fresh eyes at the way we live our lives, the things we might take part in day by day that might at their core be corrupt and dehumanising, eating away at us. That's why we find Paul crying over the state of us. Paul is inviting us to change our minds, to be reborn, to come alive to a totally new way of being human, a new way of life. Tom Wright says, it's as if Paul is on the top of a cliff, calling to the people on the beach below that the tsunami is coming in. Paul is calling us as individuals and as a church into a new way of life, where heaven meets this very contested space called earth, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And when the church is at its best, it's seen in the tens of thousands of ordinary people, mostly never hitting the headlines, but who are doing the Jesus thing, making the world around them a place where love and generosity and healing and hope come to birth. Just as we've seen here in Ely, in glorious technicolor during this coronavirus epidemic, stories of love and grace from the food bank, stories of debt relief from the CAP Centre, stories of people making calls, doing shopping, sharing faith, looking out for their neighbour. And I want to say a big thank you to you all for the way you have stepped up. It's been wonderful to see. Well done. And even as uncertainty remains, our mission to help people find and follow Jesus, to adopt this way of life, is needed now more urgently than ever. So at the heart of it all, Paul is saying ultimately, you are going to have to serve somebody. So make it our Heavenly Father. There's nothing better. Nothing more worthwhile, nothing more life-giving. We are citizens of heaven. We have a passport that's so much more worthwhile than this one. It can never be taken away from us. So let's enjoy our citizenship. Let's adopt that Jesus way of life. And in today's reading, Paul gives us a couple of tasters into this new way of life. The first one is about unity and reconciliation. Paul is very close to his young church planters in Philippi. He's in personal touch with his friends, who he feels are partners in the gospel. I amused myself by imagining Paul's passion for his brothers and sisters in Philippi to be like Jürgen Klopp and the Liverpool team. Even from prison, Paul would have been metaphorically up and down the touchline, playing every ball, guiding every conversation, and so upset if any of his team fell out with each other. In Paul's eyes, there's no place for a festering fallout in this small Christian community. So come on, Yudia and Sintik, he says, sort out your differences. And he sends in his trusted friend Clement to mediate. Paul expects the church to represent the unity that we should have in the Messiah. So if you find yourself at odds with a brother or sister, someone in the church family, your natural family, your neighbourhood, take the initiative. Be the first to apologise, build bridges, invite God's Spirit to reconcile you, and do it before sundown. Loving God and loving neighbour are made fully possible as we draw from the deep well of the Holy Spirit. And in turn, there comes a peace beyond understanding, a shalom. In verses 6 and 7, Paul says there's no reason to worry about anything. So it's easy then, is it? Well, no, not in my experience. I know it's what God wants for me, but it doesn't follow automatically. It's not a case of a Christian keep calm and carry on. But the encouraging thing is that Paul's been very open about his own anxieties and sorrows. In his letter to the Corinthians, he says, "When I arrived at a certain place, my spirit had no rest." And in that situation, Paul poured out his soul. He wasn't pretending never to be anxious, but each time he found himself in trouble, he acknowledged it. "Yes, this anxiety is overwhelming me." And he went back to prayer, back to God. "Father, what's going on here? I'm in a stew again." Sometimes in church we feel we can't be honest. It's as though honesty about our real anxieties might be a sign that we're not as mature in our faith as we would like to portray. But Paul is saying, anxiety is inevitable. It's part of the human condition, and that's fine. So let God know how you really feel and give thanks for what he has done previously and for what he is going to do. Paul assures us then that God's peace, which is greater than our understanding, will keep guard over our hearts and minds in King Jesus. This doesn't mean there won't be more anxieties breaking out even next day, but God's peace, like a row of angels, will stand around you and guard you. God's shalom is his gift to you. Peace be with you. We notice that it's a discipline, yes, but apart from making time and finding the place, the big work is taking place through the energy of God's Spirit, giving us the courage to leave things with God when we have taken them to him in prayer. Being content in a situation is not the same as being content with a situation. We still want to fight, we still want to pray and work for change, but not all in our own strength anymore. The resulting state of shalom will enable us to be a great gift to others. So finally, let's take a very quick look at three contemporaries of St. Paul to illustrate this. And I'm indebted to the work of John Ortberg on this. Emperor Nero, he was around when Paul was in prison. He believed contentment was found in gratification. He ruled 20% of the world and was an actor, a poet, a musician. And as an Olympic charioteer, he won every race he entered. Of course he did. He was the Putin of his time. He had more luxury and pleasure than anyone living, but more was never enough. His relationships were like Henry VIII. He didn't trust anyone and became the most hated man in his empire. He devalued the currency and the Senate named him the enemy of the people. And in the end, friendless, hopeless, joyless, on the 9th of June, AD 69, he opened his veins. He took his own life. And then there was Seneca. Seneca was Nero's tutor. He was different. He was a Stoic. He believed gratification of Nero was a fool's game. He said, "Eliminate desire. Conquer your appetites and emotions. Become self-sufficient. Have self-mastery. Suffering is just a disturbance of the mind. Friends are unnecessary." But he found Stoicism to be impossible to live out, like holding a beach ball underwater. He failed and finally fell out with Nero, and he took his own life too in AD 65. And then there's St. Paul himself. Nero probably never heard of him, although he may well have ordered his death. Paul had no palace, just a jail cell at this time, yet his influence grew, even among the Praetorian Guard. Paul was influencing hearts and minds and spirits. Paul has learnt to be content, to have that shalom, an acquired skill requiring practice and dedication. His spirit flourished in the ups and downs of life. He has found a way, the way, not trying in vain to be gratified like Nero, or becoming self-sufficient through gritted teeth like Seneca. No, Paul's approach is to remember, in verse 13, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength, Jesus Christ." He was drawing from the strength of Jesus' Holy Spirit. You might have noticed there was a fortnight recently when many more large planes were flying overhead, And apparently it was for the mid-air refueling for some of the exercises that were going on. Well, Paul is constantly connected to God and is mid-air refueling all the time. Paul's secret is the grand paradox of life. His apparent unconquerable spirit finds its source in his complete dependence on another. His sufficiency comes from union with the one who is all-sufficient, Jesus. He is gratified by his heavenly Father. Paul's life is not about the mastery of suffering or from the escaping of inner pain. Not at all. It's about being part of the triumph of love. Unlike Seneca, Paul has not renounced desire and gratification. He's refocused it, redirected it towards God. His desire is larger and deeper than ever. C.S. Lewis says, "We are far too easily pleased. We are created with an infinite capacity for desire because God has an infinite capacity to love and to give. So don't settle for anything less than God. Don't be too easily pleased. Like a child that goes on wanting to make mud pies in the street because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. Don't be too easily pleased." So get your hopes up that God will use you to change the world. Get your hopes up, not that you will get enough stuff to be gratified, but that God will give you enough power to love and to bless and to serve and to even suffer with joy. Even if it's hard, even when self-isolating at home, even with fear and virus all around, discover the sufficiency of Jesus in the midst of it. Discover his strength. Find meaning in your suffering. Discover joy in the generosity of people who care about you. Discover hope in the promise of life beyond the grave. Discover shalom in this situation, in this day. Let's live this way of life. We gotta serve somebody. Let's make it our Heavenly Father. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Paul's example, that he is the model. We thank you that he was able to be that because of his dependency on you, that he was fueled in flight. And so, Father, we do pray that we would open our hearts, open our minds, open our hands to receive that fuel from you, fuel that enables us to live our lives with a new shalom, with a new peace, with a new contentment. A contentment that doesn't make us complacent, but a contentment which enables us to then invest our lives in your kingdom for the good, for the justice that is required. Father, please lead us on. Please fill us up and help us to model what it is to find shalom in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for your word to us today and for that reminder of how Paul was fully dependent on God, and this allowed him to live his life with contentment and peace, ready to invest his life in building God's kingdom here on earth. So as we continue to reflect now on Chris's message to us today, we're going to turn to our second song this morning, "Lord, I Need You," which reminds us of the need we all have to find rest and contentment in God, as Chris has been reminding us this morning through his sermon. You might like to sing along or simply use this song as a time to be still and to reflect, and to ask for God's peace to fill you afresh. You might also want to think of anybody else who you think needs to know this deep contentment during this time, and quietly bring them before God through the thoughts of your mind and the actions of your heart.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Oh Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
So Lord, we do confess that we need you in our lives. In every moment, help us to build our lives on you. Help us to find peace in you. And help us to follow your call on our lives. Amen. We turn now to a time of confession where we have the chance to confess to God the times that we haven't followed him fully with our whole hearts, and those moments when we've turned away from his peace and also his love. So if you'd like to use these words and make them a prayer of confession, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." And we pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together we now affirm our faith. Again, if you'd like to join in with the words in bold, please feel free to do this. Let us declare our faith in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray together. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. And I'm going to hand over now to Shirley, one of our church wardens from St. Leonard's in Little Downham, who is going to lead us in our prayers of intercession today.
Good morning. It's lovely to be part of this service this morning. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can come together like this and pray to you, knowing that you hear our prayers, and in faith know that you answer them. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you just as we are. We don't have to pretend to be something we're not. We can come to you with all our frailties, our worries and concerns, our burdens and troubles. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us just where we are, at our point of need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In these times of change, Lord, we pray for all those who do not and cannot adapt to changes that are happening in our world today, for those who struggle for their everyday needs. We pray for those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, for those suffering with financial problems and finding it hard to make ends meet. We pray for those suffering from addiction, mental health, or physical problems. And we lift them to you, Lord, and we ask that you would meet them at their point of need. Help us to be aware, Lord, of those people you might put in our paths, that we might have the right words of comfort to those in any kind of need. Deepen our faith, Lord, and help us always to keep our eyes fixed on you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those young people who will be returning to school or further education in September, and for those starting school for the first time. Things will probably be quite different when they return. So help those, Lord, who for life some things are not that easy to adapt to the changes without causing problems and concerns for them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the Ely Deanery as we continue to make plans for the future. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak clearly to those making the decisions, and that whatever the outcome, it would only be to grow your kingdom and to bring more people to faith. And as churches, Lord, as we prepare to open our doors once again, we ask that you would give us wisdom in embracing the new and the courage to let go of the things from the past that were meant for then and not for now. And as we seek you, Lord, we ask that you would prepare the way for us, that you would build us up in our faith and our desire to do your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, Lord, for all that you provide for us and for all that you give so lovingly. And we thank you, Lord, that as we move forward, it's possible to see that sometimes it's just the simple things in life that bring happiness. Help us to remember, Lord, that our worldly desires are usually just a temporary fix, here today and gone tomorrow, and do not fulfill the longing of our hearts and souls. That only comes from knowing you as our Lord and Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we as Christians run towards our goal, please help us to be aware of all those who do not know you yet. Help us to be loving and generous with all that we have and all that we do. And everlasting God, we ask you to lead us into the coming week. Help us to remember that you are close by us. Keep us from making mistakes, and help us never to disappoint you through our words and actions. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much, Shirley, for leading us in prayer today. And we gather all of our prayers together now in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please feel free to join in with this modern version of the prayer, or to pray the more traditional version at home. So as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we've got one last song for you to join in with, and this week the song is Faithful One. This is a song which encourages us to remember God's faithfulness to us at every moment of life. So however you are feeling today about the day and the week that lies ahead of you, can I encourage you to look to Jesus as your rock and your anchor, and to trust that as we sing, as we pray and we call out to God, he will strengthen us and give us all we need for the coming days.
Oh,
you, Lord, that you are faithful. Today we pray that we would rest in your love and your promise of salvation. And we ask that you would provide us with all that we need to find peace, to find rest, and also contentment in you. Amen. Well, as we draw to the end of our service this morning, two quick notices. First of all, a notice to encourage you that all the churches in the Ely team are working hard behind the scenes to prepare to reopen our churches for public worship in the near future. Obviously, different churches will be ready to reopen at different times, and we'll be seeking to update you via email, the website, and our online services as reopening dates become available. However, if you have any specific inquiries, please do contact the church office at St Mary's by emailing office@stmarysely.org or calling 01353 659 550, and the office team will be able to put you in touch with the church wardens at each of the team churches who will be able to answer your questions. We are pleased, though, to let you know that at St Mary's in Ely, our services will begin again on August the 2nd. Next week in our online service, we'll provide you with more details about how you can book in for the services and the safety measures that will be in place to keep everybody safe. However, just to give you a brief taster, we'll be hosting free services, a communion service accompanied by the organ at 8:30, an intergenerational service for everybody outside on the church lawn at 9:45, and a more contemporary communion service at 11. During August, the 8:30 service will run every week, and the 9:45 and 11 services on the 2nd, the 16th and the 30th of August. Then from September, all free services will be on offer every week. But please rest assured that at least for the next few months, we'll continue to produce online services alongside our public gatherings to ensure that those who are shielding or don't yet feel ready to attend a service in person will be able to participate and remain a member of our church family. So do sit tight and look out for our Welcome Aboard video next week with more information about safety procedures and how the services will look. And our second notice is really to say a big thank you to those of you who've continued to support us financially over the past few months. We're very thankful that thanks to your generosity, our ministry has been able to continue throughout the whole of the lockdown period, and your contributions will also go on continuing allowing our churches to minister as we look to the future. If you'd like to find out more about giving to any of the churches that make up the Ely Team Ministry during this period, please do contact the St Mary's Church office in the first instance. Again, you can email office@stmarysely.org or call 01353 659 550, and their office team will then be able to give you further instructions about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely Team. So as our service ends today, don't forget that you can find out the latest details of all that's happening over the next week by visiting the St Mary's website. That's www.stmarysely.org. Do look out for our midweek study video, which has this week been produced by Stephen and will be published online from Monday morning. And as ever, if you do have any pastoral concerns or practical needs, please contact the church office and we'll do our very best to help you out. Next week, we're back online and we're starting a new sermon series for the summer, looking at characters of the Old Testament. And I'll be kicking off our new series by looking at Gideon. But for now, as we head out into the rest of our days and the week ahead, I'm going to pray a final prayer of blessing over us. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.